All right, we're back.
Yep.
Much to the chagrin of the large distributors out there who we're about to yell at.
Oh, for right.
Filling our marketplace with ugh.
I suppose we're probably the buzz in most of their boardrooms or marketing bullpens. When are those guys going to really drop on us again? Oh my God, it's been so long since they talked about us.
You think they're waiting on us?
Mm-hmm.
It's possible.
They're waiting for that. You know, we are the shoe to drop, right? They're terrified of us.
They have these anti-hopnology SWAT teams, like
totally.
Ready to roll.
Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
They should be afraid. They should be afraid because we are going to scream it from the rafters.
It's one of those episodes.
It is.
It's time for some catharsis.
I have to say, I pulled a win yesterday. I had some people over. We were outside on my deck going over some things, planning some camping trips for the year for the scouts. And I put out a cooler of beer, and I very strategically threw at the top of the cooler some things I didn't particularly like that I was recently gifted.
Gumball head?
No gumball heads. Someone brought, and it was very nice of them to bring me some beer, but they brought me it was just called German Bock. And you'd think, okay, we talked about Bocks. But this was made by a place here in Connecticut that specializes in smoothie beers.
Mm.
And they didn't smoothie it, but they should not have been trying to make a German Bock with you know, a German-looking font on it. They were trying really hard to be traditional.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, but it was, God, it was like 7.5%. It was not good. It was not good. So I put it at the top of the cooler, and sure enough, they all got imbibed, and I didn't have to touch them.
Yep.
So
well done.
Yes, thank you. That worked out quite well for me.
And so I suppose you hit all your favorite seltzers on the bottom, though.
No. I had some cider in there for if anyone didn't want a beer, and I brought out one of my own before everyone got there. I was drinking a Klausthaler when they all showed up, and no one thought to ask me what that was. And I'm like, okay, yeah, I'm just going to keep drinking this. I got to take notes, and I want to spell them correctly. So, yes. So that made me feel good. I cleaned out the fridge a little so I could make room for the good stuff.
The good stuff.
Yes.
Nice.
Get a little more of my Moon Man into the fridge.
You didn't have to keep the bad stuff in the fridge, you know. It's just costing you money to keep bad beer cold.
So we've discussed the fact that even when you send me like gag beer, I will very rarely pour anything out.
Mm-hmm. But
so I no. but,
did,
but
did you? I thought you were going somewhere with that. Or are you just saying, is that how you're justifying keeping your fridge full of bad beer?
Well, that's how I'm justifying keeping the fridge full of bad beer. So here's the thing. And this, as I'm going down this path, I'm seeing the fallacy as I continue to speak.
Just keep digging, buddy.
Just keep digging. But what, and I hope none of my friends are listening to this, but I tend to hold on to stuff that I don't like. I mean, if it's bad, like bad, it's one thing. But if it's something that I'm just not a fan of,
mm-hmm.
I'll hold on to it because when I do have people over here, they know I'm a beer guy. And they expect there to be some interesting stuff to try. So I'll pawn the stuff I don't like off on them. Because, look, I didn't put out a single one of my Moon Man. I've only got a handful of those left. And that mm-hmm. those are hard to come by. So... You know, Moon Man in Connecticut is an endangered species.
Yep.
Or a transplanted species, I should say. I mean, yeah. It's not even supposed to be here. Don't tell them. Don't tell them it's here. So I've got to have stuff to share that I don't mind watching it disappear.
Yeah.
I'm sounding very selfish and mean to my friends as I continue down this path. I don't intentionally buy them bad beer. I just save it for them.
The Moon Man may not be as hard to come by in the not too distant future as it is now for you.
Really? You think?
Well,
because I'm going to be traveling out your way.
Potentially, yep. Yes.
Yes. I will be spending more time.
Assuming you'd be driving. Then you could just, you know, load up and...
Yeah, we'll probably be driving.
Mm-hmm.
I might need a bigger car. Because you know what's going to happen. Once Alistair knows I'm driving out there, he's going to have me bring stuff back for him too.
Probably.
He will meet me in Port Jervis on my way home.
in a dark alley somewhere. You can do your beer swap, and I don't know what he's going to pay you back with. Fancy paintings?
Maybe. Maybe. He's laughing his head off right now, I'm sure. All right. So where were we? Where were we? We hadn't started yet. We are going to rant for rant. A change. Rant.
Rant for you, a change?
You no, sent me.
I would say we're going to rant and we're going to admit it. Mm-hmm. Not for a change.
We have a category called rants on the website. So
yes.
So you sent me, you foolish person. Mm-hmm. You sent me an article called, drumroll please, 5 new beer trends that are here to stay.
Absolutely here to stay, without a doubt, unquestionable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, of course I had to click on it because I'm an idiot. And here we go. 5 beer trends that are here to stay.
Absolutely. I guarantee they're never going away. They're always going to be on the top, just like Dexy's Midnight Runner. They're always going to be around.
Written by someone who I've never heard of, but must know exactly what they're talking about.
Exactly. They've been to the future.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So the first one, to no one's surprise, I'm gagging a little, is craft hard seltzer. First, can we take the word craft away from hard seltzer? They're made fundamentally by craft and regional breweries, but that does not make them craft. Right. It makes them sugar water.
Pretty much. Or, you know, just grain alcohol that's been diluted with purified water and flavorings and carbonation added. There are some brewers out there that will make actual clear liquor, basically, and neutral grain spirits and make a, quote, hard seltzer that way. But you're making vodka, basically, or the precursor to vodka. So... Mm-hmm. Get yourself some corn syrup and some yeast and let it go to town. And when it's done, put some flavorings in it or vitamin C and call it a health drink, right? It's healthy because it's got C in it. Or antioxidants. Yeah.
We talked about that somewhat recently. Yeah. Just,
this is nothing new. For those of you who've been around long enough with us, you know what we think about that. But the fact that it's the number one trend, and it's, you know, it's going to be around, it's here to stay. I can't accept that given, and I don't know, maybe I'm going to steal some of your thunder, but what I just told you before we started, given the news out last week about Boston Beer Company stock tanking because their Truly Hard Seltzer brand, clearly, widely, not even in the same solar system, underperformed their projections.
Yep.
If the market was expecting seltzers to be here to stay, and a company like Boston Beer Company can, and they're all their marketing gurus and business analysts can duff it that badly, I beg to differ that it's here to stay.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. Yeah, it's ridiculous. They had crazy expectations. Crazy expectations. Didn't meet their earnings per share by, oh gosh, they were off by about 50%. And they, as it says here, the company laid the blame for the disappointing quarter on softer than expected demand for hard seltzer. And of course, Boston Beer owns Truly.
I don't even know how to accept those two pieces of disparate information. Hard seltzer's here to stay, but one of the biggest names in, quote, craft beer, if they're even craft, which they're not, totally missed it.
It is very hard to believe with them, because you're right. I mean, Boston Beer is I assume, based on their volume, a regional. And when you think about with who they own, so Sam Adams, Twisted Tea, Truly Seltzer, Angry Orchard Cider, that's a lot.
Yep.
It's a lot. And never mind the Dogfish Head connection as well. You would think that with the folks working there, this isn't like your corner tap room where you've got, you know, we always joke about the fact that, well, when your marketing and social media person shares the last name with the brewer.
Exactly.
You know, because, hey, my brother knows how to post on Instagram. I'll make him my marketing director.
You bet.
No, these companies actually have people who do research and understand these trends. So they don't get that excuse.
Especially in such a, where you've got to be, you know, in the consumer's face all the time with your brand. And yeah. It just baffles me that one writer can say, hey, it's here to stay, and it's one of the biggest trends ever, and another, the actual market data says something else. So it's not that because Boston's beers truly underperform their projections, that's not what makes me say, oh, you know, it's not going to be here to stay, it's a flash in the pan. I think it will be around as a thing, just like wine coolers were.
Yeah. And why? I mean, I remember when, you know, Bartles and James and Seagram's were.
Hell yeah!
I mean, heck, we had them in the limousine at my prom.
Nice.
Everyone did. The limo driver bought them for us. Mm-hmm. And you know, I think back to Zima.
Yep.
Zima.
Yep.
I think I still have that filmy taste in my mouth from Zima, and it's been what 30 years since I've been able to try one. But that film is still there.
It's still there. Well, then then it was like Smirnoff Ice and
all the ice beers,
which was the same kind of thing, right? It was just sugar and mm-hmm. booze. And so I get it. I mean, it's sort of in the same category, but it's to say that it's that like it's a new thing, like carbonated flavored alcoholic drinks are a new thing. Hard seltzers are this new thing. They're not.
No,
it's a retread of stuff that they've done in the past.
I think the only differentiating factor here is the significantly lower calorie count. All those others were very high in sugar.
Yep.
And these are not. So there's that, I can't believe I'm saying this out loud, that healthy lifestyle bent to hard seltzers. Shoot me now. Someone's going to take that capture of me saying that the healthy lifestyle drinking craft seltzers and is going to, you know. Oh, God.
Yes. Well done.
So that's the only thing I can think of that makes this a little bit, you know, new-ish. I'll throw an ish at the end of it.
If you want to go for healthy adult, healthier, what's the healthier choice?
Water.
Well, there's no such thing as healthy eating. Healthful eating, yes. But, you know, let's not get hooked on phonics right now.
Oh, yeah, don't. Yeah.
But
I don't know if you're making a scientific argument or a grammar argument there. Probably a little bit of each. A
little of both. The idea that a hard seltzer or anything in that category could be, because it's lower calorie, could be considered like beneficial and good for you, should maybe pick up a non-alcoholic beer and actually get some damn vitamins and amino acids.
Right. Right. Very true.
It's no
secret that we're big fans of that.
Right.
Do you
remember beer coolers?
Beer coolers?
Was it called White Mountain? I think.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that's...
I'm looking it up.
Look it up, because that does ring a bell.
I think it was called White Mountain.
That does yes. sound familiar.
White Mountain Cooler. Stroh's Brewing Company, 1987.
Stroh's, oh boy.
Yeah, was the original formulated malternative.
Malternative.
Yeah, it was basically malt liquor cooler is what it was. It was malt liquor called a beer cooler because it had sugar and strong fruit flavors like wild raspberry, original citrus, and cranberry splash.
Wow.
I used to get absolutely shit-faced to those back in the 80s.
Oh. Yeah, see, that would have been my Mad Dog phase.
good old White Mountain.
Wow.
Yep. Crisp and refreshing, Colorado Premium Cooler Company.
I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say. Oh, so anyway, I think what we were saying was that Boston Beer should have known better. Now, understanding that this has been a ridiculously difficult 18 months to forecast anything. Understood. And one explanation slash excuse that came out of Boston Beer on all this was the fact that people are going back into bars again. They're choosing draft beer instead of having to drink at home. And you don't really see seltzers on tap. Mm-hmm. Although there is a mention in here somewhere that I saw about seltzer bars, which if ever there was an argument for arson, I think that's what it is, right?
Arson and arsenic, both. Just yes, do both. Yes,
both.
Yep. One gets rid of the bar, the other one gets rid of the people who go to the bar.
Do you really need to get rid of the... Do you blame the patrons
yes.
in that case?
Absolutely.
You do? Okay.
Yes, okay. I do. Drink water. All of you suck.
So we've now put ourselves on the radar for poisoning and for arson.
Again.
Okay. Again. Jeez.
Oh, that's my other podcast. Sorry.
We have so many of them. We have so many of them. Oh, my. I'm going to start a whole one about different routes to drive from Connecticut to Wisconsin, but that's a whole other story. Okay, so that's number one of five. should we force us? I know we're just getting started
just
on this.
Just getting limbered up.
I know. Well, the funny thing is that number two still includes seltzer. It is another word that's been co-opted. Smoothie beers and seltzers.
Ah, yes.
So I can't look at my Instagram feed anymore. I just can't. I love the portion of it that are pictures of hop yards and harvest going on right now. I see so many pictures of wolf harvesters at the moment, mm-hmm. and folks cutting vines down up on these contraptions in the back of their trucks and their tractors, and I love it. And then the next thing I scroll to is something that's a color not found in nature. it's a triple raspberry chocolate marshmallow fluff smoothie made only with classic German hops. I'm just and who's that appealing to at this point now that the candy store is on top of it?
Pretty much.
Oh, I hate it. I hate it. They blind me. The pictures just make me want to claw my eyes out.
None of that crap in the dark corner bar. Let me tell you that much.
And what does this article say? Fruit, marshmallow, chocolate, lactose, and vanilla.
Oh, it's all the things you love.
Chocolate I don't mind when it's done correctly. And fruit I don't mind when it's in the right kind of beer. And again, done correctly. And then in the very next sentence, they're talking about puree. And everyone knows how we feel about puree.
Mm-hmm. Listen to Backyard Brew Farm. You'll get a whole earful about why puree mm-hmm. is not the fruit source of choice for mm-hmm. actual quality.
I'm starting to just get mad at this author because any article about beer that includes the phrase the texture achieved by adding cheesecake. That no.
Wow.
Yeah.
Right now I've got images in my head of like cheesecake floaties in a beer bottle, sort of like that part of Strange Brew where they put the beer in the dog's bowl and then they try and pour it back out into the bottle and it's got like dog food floating in it. Mm-hmm. Oh, the consistency and mouthfeel of cheesecake, huh?
Oh,
we call that a failed fermentation, I think. Yeah. If you get something like that.
If I drink a beer and it's chunky, I'm reporting it to the Better Business Bureau.
Oh, wow.
There's just something wrong there.
Somebody get the health department over there.
Yuck. I can't. Every example they're listing here are things I didn't know existed, and it makes me sad. I'm starting to agree with you about poisoning the patrons at this point because they're willing to buy this stuff, and they have become the problem.
Yeah, that's a long, drawn-out, sordid tale of which came first, the patron or the brewer. Because the brewer is going to make it. They're going to make. So the brewer always says, well, I just make what people want. Because if I make what I want, that nothing will sell. And then you got these other brewers mm-hmm. that are like, I only make beer that I like. And then like 3 years later, they start coming out with a hard seltzer. And be like, oh, how'd mm-hmm. that making things that you like worked out for you? Not so good, apparently. But
gotta pay the bills.
It all does come back to humans. Humans are awful, awful things.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, go continue with your list. I want to unpack this concept of trends and lists and stuff. So you continue on.
Well, number three is better. Number three is NA beers, which, you know, we've talked about them multiple times. Mm-hmm. We are big fans. Recently, I was able to get a whole bunch of the local only stuff from Athletic, which is here by me, out to you, because they distribute nationally now, but it's really their five varieties that are their core. And I mean, I sent you a rice-based lager and a chocolate cherry stout. I mean, there and a Radler. There was some good stuff in there. Coffee porter was very good.
That I was astounded at how good they were compared to their national labels that they've got all over the place. Which, you know, apparently that's what's hip. So this other stuff is people don't want a rice-based lager, I guess.
I had my last one yesterday and I loved it. But you think about what they've got out there nationally. It's an IPA, a double IPA, they used to call it a stout. They still call it stout.
All out stout.
Yeah, they just call it all out stout. It was someone else who changed theirs from stout to dark, for some reason. They have the all out stout. They have a Mexican lager and a golden. Those are their five kind of national ones, which I can understand that mix. It makes sense. Yep. But man, oh man, some of these specialty ones they put out, and they just put out a Berliner Weiss, a Blackberry Berliner Weiss, and I may drive down there tomorrow and get some of that, actually.
You know, it just occurs to me now, maybe it's not economically feasible to make on a large scale.
Oh, that's possible.
For just production issues.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that. I could absolutely see that, which is a shame.
Yeah,
because there's some good stuff coming out of there, and eventually there'll be other companies that are doing that on a more widespread basis. And there are plenty of NA beer companies right now. I mean, we're both fans of Wellbeing. Surreal does a good job. You know, I mentioned Klausthaler earlier, so there's some good stuff out there.
I just found a new one today at my local grocery store. It's called Infinite.
Oh, I did see that picture you sent me. Yeah. Were those gummy bears behind that?
Yes.
Picture?
Okay. Yes, that was dinner.
Dinner. Gummy bears and non-alcoholic beer.
N.A. Pale Ale and gummy bears from Piggly Wiggly. Oh, yeah. That's good shit right there. But this was from the UK. Huh. And I liked it a lot. And then another one of my favorite N.A.'s is straight up lovely, well-balanced lager, Estrella Galicia from Spain. It's incredible.
Mm.
Just good. It's a good beer, but it certainly isn't a slushy smoothie pastry seltzer. So probably doesn't have that big of a market.
Probably not. And you know what's interesting about this too is that the seltzer companies, you know, the slushy crazy beers. A lot of the seltzer companies are also regional craft brewers. They just are. They have the distribution footprint. I don't know of many local craft seltzer places like you have local craft breweries. It's mostly a national thing or a global thing. Oh, I was going somewhere with this. I completely lost my train of thought. I know what it was. The non-alcoholic beer space, fundamentally, these are companies that only brew NA beer. You've got a handful of NA beers coming out from breweries that also do alcohol. I mean, Guinness makes one. Just some of the major national players do them. But things like Athletic and Wellbeing, they are experts in one thing and only one thing.
Yep.
There's that one NA beer. It's somewhere out there by you called Nah, which I think is hysterical, which is made by a it's made by a brewer who also does regular beer, but it's such a difficult process and a different process that it's not worth it for a lot of these local players to also make NA.
Nope. And I've asked several of my brewer friends around here that are, I mean, they're certainly not regional, but
but they're considerable in size for our area. And, you know, the ones that just outright poop on it are like, well, you're not going to even listen to it anyway, but because you get off on 12% barrel aged stuff. But,
yep.
You know, the other ones.
We're going to get to that too.
Yeah, super. And so then the other, you know, the other folks are like, you know, I'm interested in it and I've had some that I thought were pretty good, but I'm not set up for it. It requires so much infrastructure to do even moderately well that it's out of the reach for most brewers. It's like you're going to be set up to do it or you're not.
Right. Right. And we've talked before, you know, go back through the back catalog about reverse osmosis versus vacuum distillation, you know, different ways of doing it. And speaking of which, this article mentions in Wisconsin Untitled Art.
Yep.
So I don't recall
Untitled Art
seeing theirs out here.
No, it's made by a local larger contract brewery called Octopi. And so Untitled Art is their kind of frou-frou high-end label that comes out of that facility.
Ah.
Yeah.
Gotcha. So NA beer, one trend that we like,
mm-hmm.
and if we have anything to say about it, we'll keep that one going because we're just going to keep buying it.
Yep.
It's good stuff. It's very good stuff. Every Wednesday, Athletic puts out their list of what can be picked up that weekend at the tap room, and it's one of my bookmarked sites for Wednesdays to go take a look at what's going on, just to see if something new is out. I was very bummed this week. I think I still may go get some of that Berliner Weiss tomorrow, but the chocolate cherry stout is gone.
Yeah.
And that was good.
It was quite nice. And most cherry stouts,
they're too sweet or not cherry enough.
Well, we haven't talked about cherries and plums yet on Backyard Brew Farm. We're getting around to it. But cherries are tricky. And they don't survive the cooking process all that well, or even really the fermentation process. So that what you're expecting to get when it says, you know, like chocolate covered cherry, it's usually not like dark cherry fruit that you're putting in there. It's usually some sort of extract, artificial flavoring or something like that in order to get that confectionery punch that your brain is telling you that you want just by the name. So that's what I found anyway with that. But the Athletic one was, I thought, fairly well balanced, because most of those can, or some of them can come tasting like Robitussin cough syrup.
Yes.
Just like, oh God, fake cherry. It's awful. Now, unless it's a gummy bear, and then it's perfectly acceptable.
Oh yeah. Yeah. You and your gummy bears. Mm-hmm. Ugh, luck. I thought I was the one that ate all the wrong things, you know, drinking lemonade before I have a beer and wondering why it tastes strange.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so the next category, to go completely back in the other direction, I don't even know where to go with this. Beer, ice, well, yeah, beer, ice cream, and slushies. So turning the beer into ice cream. I don't see that around here.
Or beer floats.
I mean, I've seen that for years.
That's not a new thing.
Yeah, I mean, a Guinness float with vanilla ice cream is not a bad thing, actually.
No. I know, granted, you and I are doing this a bit tongue-in-cheek because we know this is I'm going to say the word journalistic and kind of acid burp a little bit on that one, because it's it's not really journalism. It's somebody's like, I got to write something about alcohol, and everybody likes lists. So what are some strange things that are out there? And let's call them trends. So there's a bit of that going on, but this whole idea of like a beer float or a beer slushy or something like that, not new.
No.
Not new. Been around for a while. So in that regard, I guess top five. I don't know if it's a top five trend that's here to stay, because it's been here for a while, so it does have some staying power. But I don't know that it's a trend.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with you. I wouldn't necessarily call it a trend either. And, you know, to be a float and a slushy are very different. A float is just the beer is an ingredient in something else that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
A slushy is, you know, should be picked up when you're buying gas with a long straw. And once, did I mention my whole thing about colors not found in nature? I think I did. And I think I'll continue to. That is a line I've used with my children many times over the years. And I will continue to say it, that I I'm not the healthiest person in the world, as anyone who's seen me in my face for radio knows quite well. But yeah. you shouldn't put things in your body that don't look like you could have found them in a field somewhere. It's just, it's wrong.
Well, and so whoever decided raspberry was supposed to be blue.
To be blue. Yeah. Thank you. Yes.
What the hell?
Mm-hmm.
It's because they're like, well, we got strawberry and watermelon and cherry. And it's like, too many reds. Let's make raspberries blue. Okay.
Well, think about what raspberries actually look like. And even blueberries, that is not an appetizing color in a slushy form.
Not so much, no.
So you make them
it's kind of gray.
Bright blue. No, I remember in college, a particular bar we used to frequent when we were not old enough to frequent it, had a great drink called a frozen Windex sour.
Oh, God.
And that was the color. It was that blue raspberry blue with blue curacao in it. I mean, it was delicious and ridiculous at the same time. But don't call it a beer.
I'll have to tell you a story one time at some point about my college buddy who stole a slushy machine.
I think this is ringing a bell. Ringing a bell. I can only imagine what you did with that.
Slushy machines and George Dickel Sour Mash Whiskey.
Wow. Oh, Jim Beam slushies with fresh snow. That was a thing at my fraternity house. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. Anyway, we're off topic.
We're quite off topic. Well, I guess we're sort of betraying that the slushy thing is okay as long as we're in control of it. That's what it's sounding like.
I mean, I don't hate it. I mean, I don't. It's not like it's trying to be something that it isn't. Like a hard seltzer. Yeah. And that whole hype around it. It's like, it's fizzy sugar water. Who cares? It's not like, it's like, I don't have a problem with the fact that Kool-Aid is mostly just red dye and 8 cups of sugar. It's mm-hmm. just sugar water. And they're like, we're not going to try and say we're a health drink or that we have antioxidants or we're a soda. We're not. We're an alternative to that. Whereas seltzers mm-hmm. are trying to be something I think that they're not. That's just me.
It's would seltzers be the Tang of this generation?
Yes. Yes. they would be Tang or what was that other crap?
Tang was the astronaut drink.
Tang was the powdered astronaut drink, but there was another one. Mm-hmm. Sunny D.
Oh, sure, sure.
Oh, God. Yuck.
Yep, that's still around.
Yeah, nasty.
Just drink some orange juice. Yeah. Or eat an orange, even better. Don't drink the orange juice. It's 12 times the sugar. And again, not a healthy person here. Come on, people. Oh my. Okay. So let's move on from the beer ice cream and slushy. So the last one here, and I struggle with this being on the list as a trend because this is not new. This is not even remotely new. And maybe it's the way they're being done now. Barrel aged stouts. What about that is
since
is
for like trend? The history of beer, this is a new thing. No.
Mm-hmm. I happen to not be a huge fan once again because I don't like over I don't like things that are over ABV'd. I just created a word, ABV'd. Anything that's, you know, like an 11% barrel aged, it just doesn't work for me. And the thicker, the syrupiness of some of those, just again, it's not a personal preference, but barrel aged stout, that is a very legitimate style. It's been around for a very long time. Mm-hmm. And there's an art to it, a craft, dare I say, to it. Since that word is being used in all the wrong places in this article, so I don't see a problem with that at all. I also don't, in my at least limited worldview, see that as an accelerating trend at the moment. I don't see any more of those than I used to that I can think of.
I would agree with you.
So I think he just didn't want to do a top four list.
Maybe it's new to him, new trends to me. And the editor took the to me part out of the title.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But it's not new, not even remotely new. I wonder at what point a startup craft brewery says, like, is there like a progression, like an evolution of types of brewing processes one goes through? Like, you open up with a big splash in your craft brewery, you open a big splash and you've got a bunch of IPAs, let's say. Mm-hmm. Or crazy fruit pulp something or another, right? Bomb pop slushy something. So that's like all, it's like those are the lowest hanging fruit. And then as you get a little bit more refined, it's like, what's the next thing?
that you go to. It's like, oh, okay, well, I'm getting serious about my brewing now. So now I'm going to do barrel aging, or I'm going to do something like that. I don't know where it falls in the hierarchy of Maslow's hierarchy of brewer's needs. I don't know where barrel aging comes in there.
No, I don't know either. I'm trying to think, because we have had, you know, places open in the last couple of years around me, and I'm trying to think about the process they went through. And for both of the ones that opened in my town in the last couple of years, they both started with between 5 and 8, and probably, you know, half of those were IPAs, because that's what people want. And then at least, you know, Reverie, I mean, they opened their doors with a porter and a wee heavy and, you know, a couple of IPAs and a double IPA and a wit. So they went for some of those other ones and to see what would work and what wouldn't work. Certainly their rotational stuff that they try a lot of different things of are IPAs. But they've got a couple of variations of porters and stouts they keep on coming back to, with not a ton of new exploration there. But they're constantly messing with new IPAs because that's what the majority of the people want. So getting back to the barrel aging thing, they did some barrel aging, and it was the kind of thing where, you know, they found they partnered with a distillery nearby, also a small distillery, and said, hey, can we get some of those and we'll put your name on the beer, and all good. So I think maybe it's more opportunity based.
It could be.
At least in that example.
You know, there's a brewery here in Wisconsin called Central Waters, and I think they probably started off with barrel aging like everybody else does in the brewing industry. They get a few barrels just like you talked about. And, you know, flash forward 10 years later, they've got this gigantic barrel aging pole barn that's just full of different beers and being rotated through year over year. And it's a huge thing. They've got this huge library now, that a cellar library of barrel aged beers that they can release on a given schedule, almost like you would like bourbon, right? And and they went heavy into it, and they learned a lot, and they've become the experts in doing this. Compared to, I'm not going to say smaller brewery, because I mean, these guys aren't huge, but compared to a different brewery that has like 4 barrels in a corner, and they've got, you know, okay, I'm going to put one of my stouts in there, and I'm going to put one of my porters in there, and I got this tequila barrel. I don't know where I got that from. Some guy from somewhere. So let's put something else in it and just have something kind of fun to do. That's okay too. But it doesn't make it something trendy.
No, I don't think so either. And what you're saying about, you know, finding the tequila barrel reminded me of exactly how they started that first one at Reverie here. They had made a coffee stout with a local coffee roaster, a local guy who I know well, who opened up a coffee roasting place. And so they partnered with him to do a coffee stout. And then they mentioned to me when I was in there trying it, oh, and we held some of it back and we got our hands on some bourbon barrels and we're aging it so we can do sort of the sequel in 6 months or 9 months or whatever it was. And to them, it was very... strategic's the wrong word, but it was part of that process of holding on to that localness of it and just trying something different. Plus, they had already made the beer. So they weren't doing, if it failed miserably, well, they had done well with it as just a plain old coffee stout and they could bring that back. But yeah, I agree with you. Not a trend. Not a new trend anyway. It's something people look for.
What is it about
lists?
Trends? Well, I mean, lists, for whatever reason, humans love lists.
Yeah.
And it's a well-known fact that when you're like in a blog or any, you're trying to market anything that you're writing, it's like top 10 things you absolutely need to blah, or 8 things you're doing wrong with your lawnmower, or just kind of stupid shit like that to get people to click on it. But I'm just thinking in terms of trends, like let's say slushy beers or pastry beers, right? And if they were really to be a trend, what makes a trend? Like when does a trend, not a trend anymore, but mainstream?
Like people say, I hear still hear people today say, well, this IPA trend's going to die. I'm like, it's not a trend anymore. Mm-hmm. Right. In my mind, a trend lasts 2-3 years, right? You see this blip and then it kind of fades away. You know, wine coolers, those were a trend, right? Because poof, they're gone. It's like you can't find them anywhere anymore.
Right.
Something else has taken their place, but they're not wine coolers anymore. So that was a trend or a flash in a pan. Whereas IPAs have been around for a long time. They're going to be around for a long time, even more. And now we've got this kind of, I'll call it fractured category, where you've got West Coast and Hazy and New England and all these other sort of subgenres. They're not going away. So if they're not going away, they're not a trend anymore. They're like mainstream.
Right, right. They're a legitimate permanent line extension. You're right.
And yeah. Does that happen with seltzers? I mean, because I put seltzers in like that wine cooler type category where it's like an alternative.
Yeah. And you think it's going to, well, we hope it's going to spark and then fade.
Well, it just, if you look at that, if you look at the category beer versus those things, where's the most turnover been? I mean, it's, you don't see a new beer style coming and fading and coming and fading and coming and fading.
No, you really don't.
It just doesn't work that way. Whereas like a seltzer or a beer cooler or Zima, a malt beverage, you know, or alternative, I mean, they have their place. But to say that they are setting a trend and that they in and of themselves will become a new brand extension, like you're going to invest in because they're going to be there a while, I just don't buy it.
I hear what you're saying. I don't know the answer. I don't know the answer. I mean, if they do have their place. I think that place is the drain. but the at what point, and it's not just about time in terms of at what point that trend becomes a permanent part of the line or part of the marketplace. Because, I mean, how long do you give it before we say, yeah, this didn't really work? Well, think about ciders. So ciders, ciders have been around forever, but putting flavors in them and things like that became a thing a few years back. I don't think that's going away. I think cider is something that will be here, but it never got close to getting in the way of beer, like seltzers did.
Beer is so much more of a dynamic beverage mm-hmm. than even cider is, that I think that's why you see these, you know, growing interests in these line extensions.
Line extensions.
And they become a thing because people develop a palate for it. But it's still, you know, a West Coast IPA is still at heart an IPA, and it's a beer that is very, you know, the ingredient list is complex, and the way that you can tweak it by any given brewer is so individualized that if you like West Coast IPAs, you have a plethora of them to try, mm-hmm. as opposed to a hard seltzer, which is literally grain alcohol, fizz, and flavoring. It gets boring after a while because there's how much variability is there? What can you do new that's really going to keep that the lifeblood in that whole area before people just get bored with it and move on? That's what I think is going to happen.
Yeah, and they'll find something else. They'll go back to hard spirits or something, or back to beer.
Beer coolers for the future.
Beer, well, you can only hope. It's no secret that we're big fans of that.